Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Patriot Education. My name is Terry Rowland. I'm your hostess for this evening. And as always, we are brought to you through the good offices of www.patriotfamilies.com, a collection of great people who believe that they truly are the nation, and that this nation of ours has been and always be a beacon of freedom to the whole world. To start this evening's show, this is my first show without my greatest and dearest fan. My beloved David passed away on March 19th. It was very sudden and very heart-wrenching for me and for all of those who knew and loved him. Let me tell you that my Patriot family here on the net has been supportive and compassionate and kind, and they are truly a family, as this nation is a family. My colleagues at work, my neighbors have all rallied round, not because government told them to, not because Social Security sent them a letter, not because they expected something, but because they wanted to reach out and comfort me in my loss. This is what makes this nation, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what we need to teach our children. The impulse of real compassion, not phony, fake praise, where achievement doesn't exist, not everything is okay, there is no right and wrong, not constantly being told that the world will bend to you. The people who helped me and are helping me in my difficult time are genuinely kind and compassionate people, as are most of our fellow citizens, and actually most of the people in this troubled world of ours. But that genuine compassion, that straight from the heart offering of a hug or a handshake or a hot meal or just taking out the garbage for someone who is all of a sudden alone, is being undermined every day by what is happening in our public schools. Tonight's topic is the Borg Collective in public schools. I don't know how many of you out there are Star Trek Next Generation fans, but for those of you who aren't, the heinous villain of Next Generation, rather than the Klingons, were the Borg, a race of cyber, organic, composite, collective beings who absorbed all the civilizations upon which they came by incorporating their living components into the electronic and bionic collective hive mind. They were a scourge to the galaxy. They were the most evil of villains because they believed that they were a superior form of life and that it was their mission to make the entire universe fit into their higher form of life. We have in our government right now a group of progressives who basically think like the Borg. They too believe they are a higher form of life and that the rest of us may, given a lot of extra regulation and government oversight, may achieve their level at some point in the distant future. But we are incapable of doing so now or even understanding their incredible vision for what the future of mankind should be. So, they are assimilating our children. For those of you who watch Glenn Beck, you may have seen last night's episode where he talked about the consequences of the stimulus bill and its inclusion of the race to the top, the federal government bribery to schools nationwide to adopt the Common Core principles of education and the curricula that belong to it. These principles and this curriculum basically trashes everything that the United States has stood for over 200 years. It states that communism is the ultimate goal for true happiness. It suggests that there is no such thing as a higher power other than the state. It demands that children be collectivized, that schools are for socialization, and that meeting certain standards are a matter of necessity to fit into the collective, corporate, global, political, economic system. Within the various allocations of money are programs to monitor your child all the way through school and to decide, based on data collected from the time your child enters kindergarten, exactly what their life path will be by the time they are 7 years old. It kind of reminds me of the Catholic Church in which I grew up, which said, "Give me a child until he is seven, and he is mine for life." The Church understood human psychology and understood child psychology. And it understood that childhood is the most impressionable time in our lives, and that if certain push-button Pavlovian responses to external stimuli, physical, oral, intellectual, can be programmed in by the time a child is seven, it is very difficult to dislodge them. Hence, the Church wanted to create people who believed in God, in the Trinity, and in a moral code that followed the Ten Commandments and taught that you are responsible for your own actions and that sin was willfully breaking the law of God and that it had consequences, and that your goal in life was to be a good person, loved by God and helped by God, but with free will to make choices throughout your life. I will take the church's programming, ladies and gentlemen, even though I have tended to, shall we say, put that behind me, over the progressive Borg collective. As all-encompassing as the spiritual teachings of Catholicism became what turned into Catholicism, Christianity, it never denied individuality. As a matter of fact, the Christian religion teaches that each and every one of us meets and finds God in our own unique ways, and that our souls are as beautifully different as snowflakes. The Borg Collective does not permit this, nor does the Progressive Collective on which is modeled on the Borg. Individuality is a danger. The person who thinks out of the box, the autistic savant, the child with a learning disability, they are basically to be shunted off into positions where they cannot harm society, may possibly contribute a little, and hopefully will not be coddled until they're 90 when they are not productive citizens. If the Borg Collective, as it is promoted and promulgated according to Race to the Top and all of the auxiliary federal programs for schools in the stimulus bill, comes to pass, or if it had been in existence when my husband was in school, he would have been basically put into a laborer's job somewhere, tending a machine or servicing a robot, because he was dyslexic. Because it would have been assumed that college was out of possibility for him because of his difficulty in learning to read. But he didn't have parents who belonged to the Borg Collective. He had parents who told him, look, you're going to find that this is going to be harder for you than it is for everybody else. But that just means you're going to have to work harder to master it. And if you want it badly enough, you can do it. And he did. My friend Linda said, under this Borg Collective, let's see how much individualism is tolerated. Take a look at Korea. North Korea. And she's right. If you want a glimpse, take a look at leaders who have, for the last 50 years or more, starved their population to feed their army and killed anyone who did not bow down and worship at the feet of the beloved leader. Common Core and Race to the Top and No Child Left Behind are not a product of one political party, ladies and gentlemen. They are the product of progressives in both our major parties. They are a horrible, horrible nightmare that is coming to pass. Looks like I have a call coming in. Let's see who's on the line. Hello. Hello there.
Miss Cherry, how you do?
Hi, Robert. How are you, dear man?
I'm so sorry about your husband.
Thank you so much, dear. My greatest fan won't be listening in the living room tonight, but I know he's listening somewhere.
You take one day at a time, you hear?
Yes, sir. I'm doing it. I'm a tough old lady. That's why they have me doing in-school suspension, dear.
Oh, they could have found a better person to do it. And I was
Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, when I was going to be gone for 6 weeks, when David was still scheduled for hyperbaric oxygen treatments, guess who they got to replace me? An ex-cop.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's a relief on your mind.
Yes, it is. I wasn't worried. Bless their hearts. everybody has been so kind, and I thank you, Robert, for your condolences. That means a great deal to me. And Linda, I listened to your wonderful tribute to my beloved, and I thank you so much, truly, from the bottom of my heart. To all of you out there, my friends and family in the chat room, on the air, and at Patriot Families, I cannot find the words adequate enough to tell you how much your kindness, compassion, and support have meant to me and will continue to mean to me for the rest of my life. I hope that my David and I have touched the lives of others in a way that not only makes them happy, but maybe teaches them something about love, something about integrity, something about generosity, and something about humor and laughter and life. I continue to do the work that I do, ladies and gentlemen, so that over and above how to do fractions and the law of thermodynamics and beginning Spanish and how to decode words in English and where the Virginia Declaration came from and who wrote it, besides those things, I hope I teach them to be the kind of person that my David was. But if Common Core and No Child Left Behind and the Race to the Top continue to influence and control our public education, I will not have the chance. Because I will not be permitted to let my ideas of freedom and personal responsibility and integrity show in a classroom. I will be given a script, which I must follow. I don't even have a script for this show, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine, any of you, what you would feel like in a classroom where everything is scripted? Where there is no honesty, there is no difference of opinion so that you can work out a compromise or agree to disagree without descending to personal insult? Where is the spark that made this country great? Where are the opportunities to show that you might think of a new way to do something? Where are entrepreneurs, future entrepreneurs? Where are the great leaders? Where are the great writers, the great composers? Where are the ones who think in a different way and see the world in a different way? And that different way gives us something like the internet or heart transplants or two young men that I saw on Facebook, one of whom created a new way to finish a cesarean section to reduce vaginal bleeding and complications. And another one who figured out a diagnostic technique for cancer that is quicker and more accurate than anything anybody else has ever found. And they're both 14. What will happen to those kids? It won't penalize only those who are deemed unimportant or unuseful. It will penalize those who are brilliant as well. It will make average the new goal. An average, ladies and gentlemen, is a polite fiction. There is no such thing as average. Every single one of us is truly exceptional, not in the way the progressives use it, as a sop to not having to learn anything or put forth effort, but in the way that God uses it, in the way that each and every one of us touches millions of lives during our time on this earth. And that touch changes people. We will probably never know the effect we have on those with whom we interact. But we do have an effect. There is no such thing as an objective observer of life, ladies and gentlemen. The observer affects the observed. In our schools, the teacher's personality, the teacher's character, the teacher's love of life or difficulty interacting, these things will make an impression on our kids. And it's necessary that they do, because they, the teachers, and they, the children, are not perfect and never will be. We all struggle to reach the goal of being the best us we can be. My husband used to tell me, "You don't have to be perfect, Terry, at everything. You just have to be perfectly Terry. That warmed my heart and does even now because I can hear him saying it. He thought me beautiful, and God knows I'm not. But to him I was because he saw me clearly and loved me with all his heart. If we are going to teach our children that there's a little tiny box that each one of them must fit in, that there's a specific path that each one must follow, we take away from them that belief, that core heart that tells them they are worthy of both receiving and giving love. Because love is not based on how successful you are at meeting someone else's goal. Love is not based on how perfectly you fit into a role that has been chosen for you by the time you are seven. The progressives leave the heart out of everything, ladies and gentlemen, because the heart, to quote a Frenchman, le cœur a ses raisons que la raison ne connaît pas. The heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing. We are not mind and body alone. And that is what the progressives wish us to be. They wish us to be a member of the collective, the Borg hive mind, so that each and every one of us fits neatly plugged into our particular station in the global community. And that we do not diverge from the path that those elite intellectual progressives have set out for us because they know so well our value and our worth based on a series of tests we have taken from the age of 5 to 7. We become who we are not only through the genetic inheritance of our parents and our innate personality and our soul, but through our life experiences. And in our public schools, we need to give our children the very best life experiences we can. We cannot prevent or stop bullies from arising unless we become the Borg collective. But neither can we see kind and compassionate children automatically reaching out to someone who's been bullied, even though they don't know them, and stepping between them and the bully. Because those things come from the heart, ladies and gentlemen, and progressives cannot and will not admit that our hearts, our souls, our spirits, and they're all the same thing, come from God and not from government. Our founding fathers wanted public education because they knew that we could not retain the republic they created for us without an educated and aware citizenry. They understood in their time education was the property of the elite. Only the rich could afford to educate their children beyond learning basic reading and writing, and many people couldn't even teach that to their kids because they themselves could not do either. So they all believed that public education would be the saving of this nation because it would give every child opportunity to learn the things that many of them had to take time off a 12-hour workday to learn at night by a firelight or a candle, including Benjamin Franklin and Abraham Lincoln. But our public education system is being used against our children right now. I am a part of public education because I am, and I believe was born to be, a teacher. I am a part of that system because I believe that I have something to offer the children that I work with, that I have something to give them that will be of value down the line. And I know that many of them won't recognize that value for 30 or 40 years, or they may never recognize it at all. But that doesn't say that I should just throw up my hands, give up, and not stop giving it. That isn't in me. I couldn't do that. I am constitutionally, no pun intended, incapable of turning my back on someone who needs to know what I can teach. It is my profession, my passion, and my joy. It's also my chief frustration, my greatest source of anger, and the thing that gives me headaches and causes me to stay awake at night. But whenever you love anyone or anything, you have a hostage to fortune. Because when we love, we risk. We risk loss. And loss hurts. I can speak to that very strongly right now. But I would not exchange the pain I feel now for one, give up one single moment of the life I had with my David. Understanding that life is risk, that love is risk, and that life and love go together is what we need to have beneath all of the academics, algebra and foreign languages and history and science and English and how to write a coherent sentence. Underneath all of that toolkit that will give them the chance to be and live and create and design and grow, we need to teach them that living and loving is a risk, but it is a risk worth taking. And if we channel them into neat little paths and put them in tiny little boxes to protect them from disappointment and failure and risk and loss, we do great evil. We do worse evil than people like Adam Lanza or Jeffrey Dahmer or Charles Manson or Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong or Kim whatever in North Korea. We do greater evil because we know differently. We live in a land where freedom and personal responsibility and creativity and progress, real progress, have been the bywords since, basically 1620, for heaven's sake, even before we were a nation. The Puritans were dissenters, which just means they didn't agree. So they left and went somewhere where they could practice their faith in the way they wanted. But being human, they turned around and refused to allow anybody else to practice a faith that was different from theirs without imposing fines or a time in the stocks. And every single time, someone has tried to do that to human beings, the life force given to us by God has arisen and said, oh, no, you don't. And I believe that that life force is rising again. Glenn mentioned a website, Parents and Teachers Against Common Core, and I checked it out. And I urge every single one of you to go and look for it. My computer is slow and old, and if I try to have too many windows up, I'm going to lose you all, and I don't want to do that. So if somebody out there in the chat room has a better computer than I, you can go to you can Google or Bing search Parents and Teachers Against Common Core and pull up the website, and please post it on the family website. You can put it in the chat room here if you want to, too. We know what the Tea Party and the 9/12 movement and the Fair Tax folks and FreedomWorks have done. We know that this internet puts us in touch with millions of people we might otherwise never know who share our beliefs in individual liberty with individual responsibility, free market, free enterprise, limited government, and a belief in the sanctity of the individual. We need to connect with these people, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to do what we did prior to the midterm elections that swept us into control of the House of Representatives. Now, I am not advocating a particular political party, but I am advocating the people of this nation, because it is we, the people, from whom our government must derive in order to be legitimate and in order to be kept. And we can change things. But we have to believe in our power. And we have to exercise our power with peaceful, honest protest. With the understanding that we will be peaceful, we will overcome by our love for our families, our fellow citizens, and the meaning of our nation, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the ideas set forth in the Virginia Declaration of Rights and in the Declaration of Independence. These are the things we believe in, and we will fight for them. Hopefully, we will not sit back and allow this to happen to us. My friend Yo has just put a link to the website. It is What's Common Core, http://2/ What's Common Core, altogether, .wordpress, it's all one word, .com/tag/teachers-moms-against-common-core/. Okay. If you're not in the chat room, you can go on to Google or Bing and look up, just put in Parents and Teachers Against Common Core. You will find a link to this website, and it will say What's Common Core. That is the website. Join in with the rest of the people in this nation who do not want their children part of the Borg Collective. Glenn told you last night some of the things that are within the stimulus bill connected to No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top. Monitoring children electronically while they are taking tests or in classrooms, making and with teacher input so as to describe what the teacher sees or assumes from what the teacher sees. If a child is bored, or if they're tapping their feet, or if they're constantly sleeping. Okay. Unfortunately, this could mean a lot of different things. It could mean that they stayed up late the night before because their cat was sick, and it had to go to the vet, and they were crying. It could mean that they just got back from a trip, and they drove all night. It could mean that they were sneaking their Game Boys under the covers and playing whatever until 3 a.m. It could be they are incipient, they are suffering from the syndrome of narcolepsy. It could mean that their vitamin content is low. It could mean that they were coming down with a cold. So this kind of data collection, okay, all of the data collection, finding out what political party their parents belong to, what religion or belief system they follow, their blood type. They will tell you, the progressives who are designing this collective, oh, well, this is so we can be sure that their sensitivities are respected and that if they're ill, we won't have any problems with the paramedics if something happens at school. They will find poisoned fruit coated with sugar to make you believe that this data is going to make life wonderful for your child. It's going to make the future risk-free and perfectly safe. That it's going to provide for your child a custom-tailored life path that will give them happiness, success, and self-esteem, according to what the collective believes those things mean. Not your values. Not your knowledge of your child. Not your lifestyle, your beliefs, your academic education, your economic and political thought. No, 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 no. You aren't smart enough. You aren't good enough to raise your child. The state is better able to do it than you are because the state has all this wonderful data. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if that's what you want for your child, then I truly, deeply pity you. Because you want your child permanently crippled, permanently incapable of independence, and permanently lost to his or her true potential. I had to go to the bank today to deal with some matters regarding my husband's death. And the young lady who helped me happened to be the sister of one of the kids in the school where I work. And we talked about her brother, who is very, very bright and can be the most delightful young man, but who has great difficulties with personal relationships. And I was talking about pretty much what I'm telling you tonight. And when I left the bank, I gave her a hug for her brother. And she told me, he talks about you all the time. He's trying to get into ISS, but Mom told him the only way that would happen if he misbehaves, and he's not supposed to be misbehaving. So he said, well, okay, I'll behave, but I wish I could be in there all the time. And God bless him, I understand why. It's quiet. There aren't 25 people all following their happy little individual behavior patterns, no matter who needs to listen or not. He gets an explanation of something he doesn't understand. If he has a question, I listen and answer it. But he knows he has to abide by the rules, and they're very clear and very straightforward. And if he doesn't, there are immediate consequences. He knows that he can have help with any of his work, and I'll explain it six ways from Sundays. I'll get up and do a dance if I have to, if that makes it easier to understand. But if he's doing a test or a quiz, he's on his own, because it's his grade, not mine. He knows he can have some study time before he takes it, before he looks at it, if there's anything he's unsure of, and we can go over it. And he has as much time as he needs to finish it. This is what all our classrooms should be, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't stifle children. It doesn't demean them. It doesn't make them into second-class citizens. It gives them a framework within which to grow and blossom. In a sense, as you all know, I have a tendency to speak in parables, as my dear brother-in-law once said to my husband. I use image and metaphor partly because that's the way my mind works, and partly because I teach. And for most people, an unfamiliar fact or concept is best understood and internalized if it's related to something with which they're already familiar. There is a section in a very old book that used to be a standard for all children, written by Louisa May Alcott. It's the sequel to Little Women, and it's called Little Men. And in it, Professor Bayer, who is married to Joe, okay, and the second of the four March girls, in their school for boys, he tells a story at story time on Halloween or Thanksgiving. And he talks about a gardener, a great gardener, who gives out little plots to all of his undergardeners. And each undergardener is responsible for tending and caring for and producing a good harvest in each of those plots. And that some plots take more work than others. But that it is the undergardener's job to make sure that whatever help the plot needs, whether it be more fertilizer or a climbing vine so that the plant can find some support until it bursts into flower, or a little weeding or some encouragement or maybe a little more water than the other plot, it is that undergardener's job to provide those things. That is teaching, ladies and gentlemen, which was exactly Professor Bayer's idea. Our kids need to be taught as if we were raising and caring for individual gardens that will produce the fruit of our future. They do not need to be trimmed and pruned and stuffed into a pot and turned into bonsai trees or rigidly kept dwarf so that they gave us something that was a luxury for those in power, or to be allowed to sprawl all over and one plot take over every other plot simply because it was bigger and stronger. They need to be nurtured, each in its own way. But we also have to understand that we cannot allow weeds to take over the garden. Nurturing means that the weeds have to be gently removed so that we do not harm the plant. It doesn't mean we destroy the plot with a weed in it or relegate it to useless and let the plants in it die and the weeds choke it. It doesn't mean we plant every plot in rigid rows, mathematically correct, evenly spaced, with identical, genetically controlled plants. We need to remember that all of us are undergardeners. Every single one of us, not just in our nation, but in the world, even if we do not have children of our own, are responsible for being competent and conscientious undergardeners. We need to be the kind of people we would like the children around us to become. Children learn way more by example than they do by precept. They copy what they see and hear us do. And we must stand up and speak out when their future is threatened in such a horrible way as it is currently being threatened now. We have voices, ladies and gentlemen, and we must use them. Whatever you can do to fight against this insidious evil, please do it. I ask this for the sake of your children and their children and their children's children. I ask it for the sake of your neighbor's kids. I ask it for my sake and my David's. Not because we're special in any way, or powerful, or great, or wealthy. Because both of us truly did try to do that undergardener's job to the best of our ability and knowledge and skill. Not because we expected a reward, not because we were even going to reap most of the fruit. As a matter of fact, in my husband's real world, nice down-to-earth, non-metaphorical garden, what we didn't care or eat was out on a table on the roadside, free for anyone who wished to have some. And the kind of gardens that I work in, I won't reap the fruit directly, but you will, and their children will. The harvest may not come for a long time. I probably won't live to see it, but that's all right. Because the only thing I get to take with me when I leave is love. And making my job as an undergardener, my love and my passion, along with my husband, will give me the strength to keep going without him. Not because I won't miss him desperately. Not because I haven't lost half of my heart. But the other half has something to give. And I will continue to give it. We do care, as my friend Bill said. That's what makes us decent human beings. That's what makes us citizens of this great nation. That's what makes us children of God. If we remember that, if we remember to give of ourselves in everything that we do, we can make it better. We can stop the rot. Looks like I have another caller on the line, folks. Hang on a bit. Let's see who else is going to join us tonight for Patriot Education. Hello, who's on the line?
It is Linda from California. How are you doing, Miss Terry?
I'm doing great, and I knew that was you, honey. Recognize the area code. Thank you so much for the card, sweetheart.
Oh,
I appreciated
it. My goodness. You know, it happened to be that day that I was going to do my show, that morning I had found out of your loss, and so mm-hmm. I thought, okay, this is it. You know, I got to, I mean, I was, as you heard, I was blubbering through Psalm 23. But
when I heard you.
But, you know, we love you, and we, you know, you were born to teach, and we appreciate your knowledge. And when you were speaking about the children and the child who wanted to be in your class, and that you mentioned that it was his test, not yours, let's face it, you've paid your dues. You know the material. It's his turn. the student, therefore.
That's basically what I tell them. I've already been through and gotten out of seventh grade. Now it's your turn.
Exactly. You know, when, and I know that Yo and Bill and everybody that deals with Patriot families and people in my community who are, and Glenn and Mike Slater, who's from San Diego. I listened to him prior to Glenn's morning shows on the radio. We fight like crazy. I mean, just mm-hmm. amazing things that go on. I know, like I said, Bill and Yo, they do their parts, post things on Facebook. I do the same.
Right.
I actually talked about Common Core in my speech to the city council last night. Of course, they looked at me like I had three heads and I was speaking some sort of Greek. And
you said it, sweetie. Good for you.
And actually, on my show, prior to bailing after getting off the air down to the city hall to do it, I read the speech to my audience so they got a sneak preview of what was going to be said in front of the mayor at all. And basically, even though the council, you know, their eyes glaze over, they don't want to hear about agenda 12, they don't want to hear about any of these things.
They don't want to hear about anything that upsets their apple car, sugar.
Yes. But what the good news that comes out of it is, two or three more people in my action group are coming to me now for answers on this, and they're going, what is this? Can you give me links to prove out your theory or your, you know, conspiracy facts
right.
or whatever?
It's
and,
spread,
and, honey. Yeah, and this is why I do it. I'm not, you know, because I know the council, but when I can reach the audience like that, that's in the chamber, man, I'm making some headway, thank God. And that's why I speak in front of these chambers. And it's working. Oh, God.
Remember,
one
darling,
at a time.
You keep rolling those pebbles and we'll have that avalanche.
Thank
you
God,
and I both
do.
Know that. Yes.
I know.
Can't help it.
And
no.
I am so grateful that you put that link up there and you'll put it in for us, because we can spread the word. We can get it out. I can put it on every Patriot site here in California. You know, emails to these people and get it out and say, all right, guys, keep on it. Keep the pressure up until it is stopped. If it takes us months or years, we have to do it. So that's why we do what we do.
Yep, ma'am.
All
the best things stem from love, Linda. And every single one of us loves this nation.
Right.
Because of what it stands for. Not because
yes.
it makes us better than others, but because it gives us the freedom to be the very best us we can.
The ideology of the founders, the
yes.
idea of freedom.
Yes.
And what Glenn was talking about, and I love what he said, and a lot of people don't grasp it, and I'm still, you know, on that fence because we've been coddled our whole lives and lied to and propagandized mm-hmm. by the Illuminati for so long we don't know which end is up.
Mm-hmm.
With maximum freedom comes maximum responsibility.
Quite correct.
And that's in a nutshell.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So we've got to work towards that with love in our hearts and pray that it doesn't come to a revolution part two. We pray for that every day, but if they do it, you know,
mm-hmm. well,
we won't have it.
Well, basically, most of us are armed, honey, which helps.
Thank God.
Yes, and God knows the last thing on earth I want for our nation to suffer is what's going on in Syria, what went on in Egypt, a bloody revolution like Mao Zedong's.
And look what's happening even in Greece with the Golden Dawn Party. Oh, my God.
Whenever there's a power vacuum, the evil will seep in more quickly than good. Because
good
will stand back and try not to harm. Evil doesn't care.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. But, you know, that premise of maximum responsibility has got to be drummed back into our heads and our hearts. And
yes, ma'am.
Everyone has talked about charitable giving in a biblical sense from the heart,
yes,
as you're serving God. This is what people need to get back to. We've got to go back to those core principles, or we're doomed. And we must pass it on to the next generation and get rid of this Common Core, C-Scope, whatever they want to relable it, because they'll relable it.
Oh, of course they will.
You know how they do. Yeah.
Very well. Yes, dear. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, most people don't know, because most people aren't as in love with linguistics as I am, and I have been since, well, I didn't come out of the womb talking. It took me a year to learn how. But once I was a year old, it was complete sentences from then on. But anyhow, most people don't understand that the word charity comes from caritas, okay, which is it's either Greek or Latin, and it means love. And charity is not giving somebody something. Charity is loving. Remember the sermon, the three virtues, faith, hope, and charity, and of these, charity is the greatest. Because love is the basis of everything that we do that's right. When we act out of real love, and I'm not talking obsessive passion or lust or OCD, when we act out of real love, agape, yes, when we act out of agape, we cannot do wrong. Because in that moment, we are acting as God acts to us.
Precisely. And it's just amazing how many of us, thank God, in the Patriot Movement, we get this, and we strive to be more Christian-like, you know, in the teachings of Christ. I find very little fault with said to his followers, you know,
exactly,
love thy neighbor, etc., you know.
Uh-huh. Well, a friend of mine put that one pretty well, didn't it? He said, there are lots of people out there who are admirers of Jesus, but very few who are actually followers.
Have you been watching the Bible by any chance on the History Channel?
Yes, I have. I have the last episode recorded because of the timing. It's just been, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
You know, which means I'll probably survive because I'm crazy. So I'm, you know, right.
Absolutely.
In the right place at the right time.
You know, what Jesus said to Peter, and Peter asked him, he said, you know, because he says, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and what shall we do? And he said, change the world.
Yeah.
It was so profound, those little words. It was, I mean, they're doing a great job with this. Absolutely.
Yeah,
they
really are. They really are. Well, the thing is, most people assume that changing the world is not possible for one person. Well, no, technically, they're correct. It isn't. I can't walk out of my front door and say, okay, world, change by the sheer power of my will. But if one person changes something that they do so that it's more productive or more kind or more compassionate or helps somebody else, it spreads. It grows. I like the garden parable so much because it's so, it's what we all do, whether we're teachers in our garden plots or whether we're activists saying, no, you can't turn me into a bored collective, whether we're crazy old ladies like me who loves her cats. The more love we put into the world, the more we get back. Every single belief system devised by human beings understands that you get back a multiple of what you give out. Every single one of them. And I've studied them, Linda. They all say the same thing.
Right. When you look at it, like, say, even from a historical point or just the Bible, a history book, he definitely did change the world because we're still talking about him.
That's for sure. That's for sure. More long-lasting effect than anybody else I can think of right off the bat, at any rate.
And it does take time.
It does.
You know, evil is quick because they use force.
Yeah.
They use bullets, you know, like Mao, et cetera, and the others.
Evil is doomed to fail purely because it cannot love.
Right. It's the absence of it. I think it's incapable. Yeah, it's void.
Yes.
It's like dark and light.
That's exactly correct. And if you're a Taoist, you know from the yin-yang symbol that dark and light go together because we know nothing unless we know it by contrast. We don't know good unless we know evil. And this is one of the fatal flaws in all of the isms, Marxism, progressivism, communism, etc. They have the overbearing Icarus-like delusion that they can eliminate evil simply by controlling everybody to what they think is good.
Sure.
And
yeah, Fabian socialism.
By wanting to eliminate evil, they create evil. So it happens. Yeah, you cannot eliminate evil with people because it will always exist so long as there are human beings.
Right.
But can do everything possible to reduce the risk of that evil becoming so widespread that we just go down in flames and God's got to start over again with the monkeys. Yeah.
Well,
I like
know,
the point comment. God invented man, created man because he was disappointed in monkeys.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't usually make something darker, but you can make it brighter.
Exactly,
light
correct.
Can't overtake.
You try painting and adding more black to make it blacker. No, doesn't work. Believe
me,
I've tried.
And you also described, you know, what the progressive ideology, the false argument of eliminating evil by taking people's guns away. That's impossible, short of, you know, what would they call the precogs and the Minority Report. I mean, that's the only way.
Basically, give us all a frontal lobotomy.
Exactly. That's exact. Or precog and go arrest you for what you're thinking.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
That's what they're trying to do.
I know, darling. Believe me, I know. And that's why I am so, I guess you could say, fired up. I understand. I see this. I've lived long enough to understand that basic human nature is inherently flawed. Because if it were not, we wouldn't be human. We would be God. And as far as I know, there's not a vacancy in that position, and I don't intend to submit my resume.
And the last I heard, the Garden of Eden got closed.
Yeah, uh-huh. If we get back in, it's not going to be on this earth. In spite of my dear Jehovah's Witness stepdaughter, thanks. No. But that's up to her. I mean, if she's found comfort and peace and a way of living her life that leads her to give of herself to others, God bless her. She and her husband came and cleaned out my shop and hauled stuff to the dump and everything else, and they work like beavers.
Wow.
People have been so good and so kind from every kind of spiritual background you can think of. At David's reception this weekend, I asked the funeral home to please use the socializing room instead of the chapel. Not because of any prejudice that I might have against Christianity, because there's a beautiful painting of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane there, but because we have such an eclectic theological mix. Everywhere from all the way from atheism through Amish Mennonite to Jehovah's Witnesses. And I don't want anyone coming to honor my beloved husband to feel uncomfortable in my presence or my family's presence and not be able to speak from their heart in whatever tradition they value.
Perfect. That's great. Yeah.
That, to me, is what the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom and what our First Amendment wants for all of us.
Exactly. Yeah, because you don't want a theocracy. I mean, even Jefferson, none of them did. Benjamin Franklin, on down, Sam Adams, all of them, they hated that idea.
Of course they did, because they understood how quickly that becomes an evil dictatorship and a top-down control. Because when you speak with even the Pope, for God's sake, people assume who aren't Catholic that every time he opens its mouth, it's ex cathedra. It's not. The papacy using ex cathedra, meaning from the mind of God, is a very rare occurrence. It very rarely happens because in the last 350, 400 years, popes have been damned careful not to say, I'm God and this is what I tell you, okay? Because they aren't. And unfortunately, when you get a theocracy, your leaders think that they are getting the direct word through their own private channel in their ear from the divine. And whenever any human being assumes that that gives them the right to tell everybody else what they must do, then you go down to the nether regions.
Yes, like Mayor McFascist Loomturd.
Or Nancy P, you know, P-E-E. Or Einstein, or any one of the idiots that stand up and mouth this crap that we have to listen to.
I know. I turn it off. I can't.
Oh, I can't listen to it. I mean, you know, it's difficult enough for me to eat right now. I don't need nausea on top of tension.
Okay?
No. No quiero. Don't want any. Uh-uh. No wanty, no takey. But it's, we have voices. You use your voice, Linda, in a way that spreads what we are trying to get people to wake up and see. Just as I use mine here on the net and in my, I guess you could say, undercover job in school, because in a way, I am kind of an undercover agent, not for any subversive power, but simply to, by what I do and how I do it, show that being a conservative and a libertarian and understanding that freedom has responsibility doesn't make me an evil witch who eats children. And besides, I never eat children before dinner anyway.
Exactly. So it's true. I mean, each in our own way are making a difference. And as long as we don't give up, I think we've got a shot. You know, I really believe that. I cannot be a sunshine patriot. I cannot be a sunshine patriot. Cannot.
Me either. No, nor will I, honey. I'm too stubborn and too old. You know, I haven't got the energy. You know, we'll run and hide in the woods to escape it. But I am so glad you all could join me tonight. I want to tell you, and please convey to the family, Patriot family, how much I appreciate your kindness and concern and your condolence.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad that many of you got to meet my David when we were in D.C. for the Restoring Honor Rally.
It was wonderful.
And,
I know.
That he was the kind of person who was always himself. There was never any hidden agenda. There was never any facade, no acting, no persona other than David. That's who he was, what he was, and he liked himself. And he worked on laws, but, you know, and Lord knows he wasn't perfect, but I couldn't stand to be married to somebody who was perfect. I would, you know, go shoot myself.
Like a and Felix Unger?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear Lord. Thank you, God. You know, I'll take David's mess with Felix Unger. And believe me, as beloved as he was not the neatest person in the history of mankind. Far from it. But
anyway, what I noticed about him was his sense of humor and his naturalness with people and himself, yeah. Like you said, being at peace with himself, and that was quite
that was
true.
That was who he was. I can feel him behind me as I'm doing this show. Sitting
cool.
on the couch. Thumbs up, yeah. Because he always said with every new show that was the best one. He was a good liar, too.
Yeah, but, it's because he loved you so much.
Yeah, I know. And bless his heart. For him, being a part of Patriot Family as in an auxiliary capacity, I was his voice for a lot of the years we spent together because it was hard for him to talk after what he had gone through.
Sure.
And never once, Linda, did he tell me that I misspoke on his behalf. And that
awesome.
Makes me so
wow.
proud. So when you hear me do my shows, it's not just me. It's me and my David, too.
Absolutely. Hey, yay. And just a real quick note, I know that you've got a lot on your plate right now, but we are trying to gather in July. Oh, we'd love to have you in Delaney.
If there's any way I can do it, Dawn, I will. I can't promise because everything's up in the air right
now.
We know.
Yeah.
If there's a way that I can be together and share some hugs and some good jokes and laughter and some passion for change in the right direction.
Liberty.
Yep, liberty. I will be there with bells on if I can possibly manage it. But
okay.
Don't take that as a promise, sweetheart, because I can't make any. I won't make a promise I can't keep.
Absolutely. Gotcha. We understand. Anyway, I'm going to let you go and finish it up. And hi, Robert. Thank you. And thanks to everybody in the chat room for coming in.
I have a joke for you guys.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you know how you really define progressivism?
No. Tell me, Robert.
A disturbed aberration.
Good one.
I like it.
Oh, good.
All right, guys.
There you go.
God bless you guys. Catch you in the chat.
God bless.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Come on in, Linda. God bless and keep it up, honey. Keep being that pebble voice. That was my friend Linda, that rare bird of paradise, the California conservative. You'll want to listen in every Wednesday night for Right from the Left Coast. That's my Linda's show. And she talks about current events and Agenda 21 and now Common Core, I think. And she's the kind of woman that we can look up to. She's a leader, a thinker. She has a heart full of generosity and a mind that never stops learning. And I admire and respect and love her with all my heart. Everybody out there listening, if you've stumbled on this show by mistake and you don't like it, that's okay. If you do, that's even better. Please try out our other shows that are sponsored by and brought to you by Patriot Family. There's one every night of the week. You can go to our website. It's www.patriotfamilies, that's all one word, and it ends FAMILYS.com. Use Google or Bing and find us. Come and look over our website. Talk to the folks in the family. Put something on our website. Start a blog. Give us a link to websites that you think that our folks might wish to take part in that will help us keep this nation the beacon of freedom she's always been. Listen into our shows. And by all means, ladies and gentlemen, follow the advice of one of the greatest teachers and the greatest gardeners of all time. Little children, love one another. Because it is through love, love of country, love of family, love of child, love of husband, that the good things that we have made on this earth come. We have made extraordinary progress technologically, ladies and gentlemen, in the last 50 years. It is utterly miraculous and amazing. We can do and have done great things as both Americans and as a species of humanity. We will always try to find a new and different way to do something that will make it better or faster or easier, that will help someone, that will create something bigger or stronger or more useful. It is the nature given to us by God, because in His image we too are creators. And if we do not stand up and stop the progressive agenda as it relates to public education, we will kill the roots of that creativity. We will utterly destroy it before we realize it's even gone. Because technology will carry us for a while. But when there are no more up-and-coming, bright, outside-the-box thinkers like the Bill Gates of this world or those two 14-year-olds, because they're told that this is not correct, because it might make somebody else feel bad if you display that you are brighter than they are, or it's not correct because the state doesn't do it that way, or it's not correct to think like that because the collective can't all do it, so you can't invent it, or not everybody will want it, so it's worthless to explore it. Many of you out there, will buy into Common Core, C-Scope, the No Child Left Behind, the Race for the Top, because it will be sugar-coated for you. It will be given to you with a spoonful of sugar so that you will be told that this is going to make things wonderful for your kids. They'll have all of the personal attention, and we'll know everything about them so that we can guide them into what will make them happy. Like little sheep into the shearing pen. Well, I have no children of my own, but I do have three stepdaughters, none of whom could ever be called a sheep. No. If anybody tried to shear them, except someone they chose, that person would probably be running all over creation trying to catch them or have lots of little hoof marks all over their body. Progressives are very good at masks, as my friend Linda said in the chat room. One of the reasons I think that my David despised him so is because he never wore one, and he had very little patience for people who did. I'm bringing him up tonight, not only because he's on my mind, ladies and gentlemen, but because everything that I have said on all my shows, including this one, I speak for both of us. And I mean that quite literally, because David's voice was unreliable because of his throat cancer and because of the after effects of chemo and radiation. So I was his voice for almost all of our marriage. And I have always known that honor carried with it a great responsibility to never speak out on his behalf something he would not wish me to say or that he did not believe. And even though neither of us is an important world figure, like my friend Bill said, at all of the occasions when we met, he was the one with the best taste in hats. And he did have great taste in hats. And he also had great taste in his friends, among whom are me, because we were best friends, and all the folks in the chat room and the folks at the Patriot Family website, even the ones he didn't get to meet personally, because he chose his friends not based on their political affiliation or their skin color or their level of education, but on their hearts. Just as he asked to be chosen as a friend on that same basis. To David, what you believed was less important than what you did. Whatever the wellspring of your actions and your treatment of others was, what mattered was not where you drew the water, but how sweet was the water you gave out. And his always was. This is what our children need to learn. This is why we have the protections of our God-given rights built into our founding documents. Because our founding fathers understood that we are unique individuals. We are not clones or sheep or identical genetically engineered plants or cattle or equal carved gemstones or indeterminate mud. We are unique individuals, each of us with a path to follow that we choose, and with the help of God and our parents and those who teach us, hopefully we will choose a path that makes the world better. But we still have the choice. Progressives understand, even though they don't say so, that the only way they can achieve their risk-free, perfectly safe life for the masses is to eliminate choice. Behavioral psychology does that. The behaviorists understand that if you want to make someone change his behavior, you make it impossible for him to continue that behavior by eliminating his choices to do it. The carrot and the stick approach, the peer pressure approach, the societal pressure approach, the this is good for you, and even though it stings a little, you'll feel much better in the morning approach that we use with children. This is one of the reasons why they are doing what they are doing with our public schools, because they want all of us to remain children. They're not having a heck of a lot of luck with anybody who actually got out of school before 1985. But they have been having great luck with the ones who have been through the mill of public schools since that time. Look at the last election, and you will notice that. We need to put a stop to this, ladies and gentlemen, and we can and will do it if we speak out, if we join together, and we have the most amazingly efficient tool to do so that the world has ever seen. This tool that I'm using right now to speak to all of you and to send out to you what I believe, what I think, and what I feel. We can use this tool not only to stop what's happening, but to give our children the kind of education that really does allow them the opportunity to learn and grow and mature and think at their own pace, in their own style, and with their own individual personality. We cannot let them use this wonderful tool to take away from us the power it gives us. So when you research, when you talk online, when you gather together in chat rooms, do your own homework. Get it from the source. Don't buy into rumors. Check the documents. Why do you think we are socially promoting functionally illiterate people who cannot go to the source and find out the real words? Why are we watering down history and English and eliminating the classics and having them watch a video of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton in The Taming of the Shrew instead of reading Shakespeare? Because it's all about altering your worldview. It's all about giving you an alternate perception of reality because you do not have the skills or the tools to discover it for yourself. Do not allow them to socially promote your child, ladies and gentlemen. Do not allow it. If you have to put that child in a private school, if you have to make sacrifices to homeschool, do it. I don't care how many studies have been done about how their self-esteem is raised if they're socially promoted. Your child's self-esteem is not based on what grade he's in. Your child's self-esteem is based on understanding that he or she is giving his best effort and feeling and acting from love and kindness in all his or her relationships. That's self-esteem, ladies and gentlemen. Self-esteem doesn't come to you because you have a piece of paper that says you have a college degree and can't tie your own shoes without help. Self-esteem does not come from unearned praise. Self-esteem does not come from watered-down curricula that will make you a happy government clone placed in whatever slot the government sees you are fit for. Self-esteem does not come from your peers. It does not come from your parents. It does not come from your teachers or your minister. Self-esteem comes from living your life, following the golden rule, and understanding that liberty and responsibility go together in equal measure. And those are the core values. Those are the common core, ladies and gentlemen, of this nation and what it believes. Not an academic curriculum. Not a eliminate valedictorian so the less than average student will feel bad at graduation. Not refuse to honor honors graduates with a special dinner because everybody else who might be motivated by hearing them praised isn't going to be there. That was the reason behind some stupid school in New England, Connecticut, I think, somewhere. No, we're not going to have the honors dinner for the high honors high school graduates celebration with parents and family because, a lot of the kids who need to follow their example won't be there, so they won't get their motivation. Well, it's not about motivating other people. It's about rewarding and honoring people who did something good. We do not live our lives solely for others, ladies and gentlemen. We live our lives for ourselves as well. It is not possible for 99.99% of humanity to be utterly selfless and take the bodhisattva vow of Buddhism, which says that you will forego enlightenment until all are enlightened. We are humans. Yes, we care about our fellow humans. Yes, we are enjoined by God to do good and not evil to them. But we are also enjoined by God to do good and not evil to ourselves. Progressives know where to tickle us to make us think that we're doing the right thing. They coat every evil program with the idea that, oh, well, this helps your fellow man. They're trying to make Jesus into a socialist who only wanted everybody to live communally. Well, Peter tried that shortly after Jesus' crucifixion, and it didn't work then either. People do what they do for reward of some sort. Sometimes it's an emotional reward, a feeling good that you've helped someone. Sometimes it's a material reward, like the harvest you gather from your garden, or the salary check you put in the bank after a hard week's work. Sometimes it's an intellectual reward, like discovering the poetry of Rumi, or really understanding what Montaigne was talking about, or learning to speak French so that nobody has to translate "le cœur a ses raisons que la raison ne connaît point." There are all sorts of rewards. We receive them all the time for what we do. We don't do things without expectation of some sort of reward. But the type of reward we are taught to expect and long for cannot be stagnation and the Borg collective, being plugged into the central mind so that you never have to make a decision and you never have to make a mistake. That is not a reward, my friends. That is hell. Quite literally. Because it destroys the soul. I hope that all of you out there listening tonight have gained something from this evening's show. We may be ending a little bit early tonight because I'm a little tired and I apologize. But I do want to urge you, please, to get together to stop the Common Core implementation in your state. If you have to figure out other ways to manipulate your state budget, talk to your state legislators. Let them know how you feel. Let them know that you will volunteer if you have to. Let them know that we'd rather have a shabby school building and turn down federal funds if we can teach our children what is right instead of what they want them to know. If we have to give up something to get our freedom and our liberty and our rights as parents and grandparents back, okay, I would give up so much to have my husband back. Let's have that same desire to get back our nation and to get back our schools for our children. Thank you to my friends Linda and Bill. I'm glad you've enjoyed the show tonight, and I hope you'll join me. I plan to be here again next Thursday at 6 p.m., good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as they say here in Virginia. And, of course, they're fixing the road that runs over the creek, so I may be here for the next week and a half because I can't get out of the neighborhood. But other than that, unless they mess up my electricity, I'll be here. If there is anything that you can think of, ladies and gentlemen, you can propose in your community, in your town, your county, your state, that will get people together, take back our control of the government that derives its just powers from us, please get out there and spread the word. Talk to people. Engage with people. Let them know that this is their nation. It doesn't belong to Washington. It belongs to us. And sitting back and waiting for somebody else to save it isn't going to cut it. And it doesn't have to be running for office. It doesn't have to be, you know, standing on a soapbox. It can be nothing more than expressing what you truly believe to your neighbor instead of trying to be politically correct and doing it in a way that says we may differ, but we're still Americans. It may be writing a letter to a newspaper or going online and writing a blog on a website or picking up a phone and calling a friend and saying, hey, let's go find out what this particular rally is about. As I have often said, it only takes one pebble to start an avalanche. And there are way more pebbles out there who believe as I do than most of you would think. I'd like to wish you a good night, ladies and gentlemen, and a very happy Easter. If that is a holiday that you celebrate, give rejoicing. Give love, give concern, give care. Spring is a time of renewal, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make this the spring that we renew our faith in ourselves and our nation and the future of our children. Let this be the spring that we do something to get back our public education system, because we can. I wish you well, and I'll see you next Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Happy Easter, folks, and thank you to all of you for your kindness to me in my time of sorrow. Good night, and God bless. Night, Robert. Thank you for calling, dear.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
You take care.
Hang in there, okay?
I will.
Hang in there and just take one day at a time.
I'll do it.
All right.